Thursday, May 14th. I slept well, woke up about 9 and had breakfast in bed, read the papers and absorbed the shock of the two Republican congressmen's visit to my tenants in Autauga County. It was ugly. It could have been worse. I've got to think of some way to turn it into a constructive end. Then I recorded 6 days on my machine. I'm going to try to catch up while I'm down here, because if I don't, I never will. Ate lunch with the girls and discovered that they had stayed up until very, very late talking about whatever it is 16-year-olds have on their minds and playing cards. And then Jerry and I went walking. Virginia in mid-May is balm for any troubles. No silent spring here. The green arch of fresh spring leaves almost met over the rutted country road. Brown thrush flashed through the underbrush. Occasionally you would see a bright little chipmunk perched on a rail fence. A flock of crows cawed in the distance across a lush green meadow over which the dairy cows, Holsteins I think they were, placidly ambled, and every time you came to a rise, there was the lovely blue outline of the mountains in the distance. We walked for nearly 2 miles. At one point, saw a handsome country home behind a fieldstone fence, not unlike those that are around Stonewall, and in the distance, a ring around which some 6 horses with riders were going round and round. And in the center of the ring, a man on a horse. I suppose he must have been the teacher. What a beautiful way to live. The melancholy call of mourning doves announced that it was spring. There were plenty of robins hopping about, and once a cardinal flashed across the road. Finally, we called them to come and get us, and Mr. Dry rolled up in answer to Jerry's talking machine. I called into the White House and asked Dr. Hurst if he and Jim would like to drive out and have dinner with me, talk over Lyndon's problems, about which they were going to have a meeting the next morning, together with Dr. Larry Lamb, who was coming up from San Antonio, and Dr. Berkeley and Dr. Travail here in the White House. I wanted to be in on it, because that's very important, too. Not even Lucy, more so. But maybe I could have more say, contribute more understanding, if I just talked to the two of them quietly, rather than being one in the conference of 7 or more. While they were driving out, I wrote out for Lyndon about a 9-page analysis of what I thought his situation was. First, in case he definitely decided he wanted to use it, there was a suggested announcement that he wasn't going to run again. This would need to be polished up by Buzz or somebody, and any medical items added by the doctors. Having, by the end of this present term, finished some 30 years of public service, ranging from my young years with the NYA to the House of Representatives, the Senate, the Vice Presidency, and latterly this ultimate responsibility, I wish now to announce that I will not be a candidate for re-election. I wish to spend the rest of my life in my home state, in peace with my family, for whom the rigors of my duties have left me too little time for companionship. This decision is made easier by the fact that I can feel my conduct of the presidency, to which I came in such a tragic hour of national rending, has not been without some solid accomplishment, thanks to the grace of God and the sturdy cooperation of the American people. To all those who have helped me throughout these years, my thanks and those of my family can never be fully expressed. I hope he won't use it, but that's that. Then I put the two alternatives. If he does run, he will probably be elected president. During the campaign and for the ensuing 4 years, he, I, and the children will be criticized and slandered for things we have done, things we maybe in part have done, and things we never did at all. This will be painful. There will be times when he will be frustrated and torn by the inability of his staff, his family, and ultimately of himself sometimes, to achieve his vaulting ambitions for this nation. And that, I should think, would be even more painful. There will be times of achievement, such as passing the tax bill and settling the potential railroad strike, and that ought to be a satisfaction with no peer, I believe. And lastly, he may die earlier if he continues the road to the presidency and works as hard. Who can tell? If anything, the last 6 months have shown us that you don't know what to expect of life. On the other hand, if he does not run, we will probably return to the ranch and he will enjoy the country he loves, and me, and Linda, and Lucy, more than we ever have, and that will be good for all of us. But there will be a barrage of newspaper stories, of questionings and innuendos as to his motives, what skeleton in the closet, what was he trying to hide, what disclosure next. Folks would believe anything but the truth, which would go on until we were forgotten. And second, and much more important, there would be a wave, this time national and not statewide, of hollow disillusionment, and you let us down, Lyndon, among those people who really looked to him as the best candidate of the Democratic Party, and perhaps the best candidate in the nation. Not unlike the wave that swept Texas after he went on the Democratic ticket with Kennedy. Only this time, it would be wider and more well-founded, and that would be painful. And then, with the limited amount of time you can ride around over those ranches, he could entertain himself with his rather small banking operations, and the TV, and cattle, and maybe a few lectures. But I hardly see how that could contain him and consume his 24 hours a day in a constructive way. There might well be periods of depression and frustration as he watched Mr. X running the country and thought what he would have done instead, and he might look around for a scapegoat, and I would not want to be it then. And lastly, he might live longer if he didn't run for the presidency. Who can tell? And if he did, would it be worth it? My final conclusion was that I think he ought to run, facing clearly all the criticisms and hostilities that will come our way. Pace himself, as well as his personality will permit, with Sundays off and occasional vacations. And then, some 3 years and 9 months from now, in February or March of 1968, if the Lord lets him live that long, announce that he won't be a candidate for re-election. And by that time, I think the juices of life will be stilled enough in him at 59 and approaching 60, that he can finish out that term and return to the ranch to live out the rest of our days quietly. I wrote this out, put it in an envelope, addressed it to the president, marked it personal, please. And then, about 8, when Jim and Dr. Hurst arrived, put it in their hands and asked them to give it to him when they met the next morning. We began our talk in the small sitting room and then went into the lovely dining room, candle lit, fire going, a bowl of lilacs on the table, steak and wine for dinner. Our girls joined us. Lucy said the blessing. It was wonderful to see how joyously she and Jim greeted each other. She doesn't always like all of our friends, or rather, more exactly, she doesn't give out in front of them. But with Tom Corcoran, the Canes, Dr. Hurst, she is the most articulate, outspoken little girl, rebel but delightful. Jim invited her back at any time and said how much he loved having her and Jack as their house guests. We had a really gay time. After dinner, the girls went back to their game of crazy eights, and Jim and Dr. Hurst and I went back to the small sitting room, had our coffee around the fire, and talked about the possibilities for Lyndon. They were going to give him a thorough medical going over the next morning. And tonight, we only talked about the psychological aspects. Both thought that inaction, idleness, lack of command would be a harder road for him than the long hours and heavy responsibilities he now shouldered. They both really thought that he should continue. One of them will call me tomorrow after the conference. I don't know, though, that either one really understands the depth of his pain when and if he faces up to the possibility of sending many thousands American boys to Vietnam or some other place. They left about 10 o'clock, and I immersed myself in Bill White's book after calling Lyndon and finding that he was out of the F Street Club. And then, when I was almost asleep, a little after 12, he called me. He had been to a stag party for Bill Douglas, and incidentally, I noticed that Bill's wife was in Europe. This was an anniversary for many years on the court for Bill. Lyndon was lonesome, I could tell from his voice. The night before, he'd had a bad toothache, and then that morning, had Dad had the tooth pulled out because it was infected beyond saving. It was a sad, happy talk, largely about the Alabama tenants, and about his restive desire to seek a way out of the burdens he carries.